Laboratory, I'm Joel Block. We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
It's 11 minutes after 10 o'clock on this Saturday, the 31st day of December 1988, and another year is at an end. And it never fails to amaze me that time goes by so incredibly quickly. 1988. I'm still getting used to 1984 being here. That was 4 years ago now. So 1989 is what's next, they tell me. Who knows what it will bring. What we're talking about tonight, kind of predictably, I guess, is, well, what does 1988 mean to you? What historical things happened, either personally or on a worldwide basis? Is 1988 an important year? Was 1988 a turning point? Was 1988 a meaningless jumble of days? What mattered in 1988? And I suppose we have to come to grips with what 1988 was tonight, because with every passing day after January 1st, 1989, we're going to slowly forget what 1988 was all about. So if we all kind of concentrate and think about 1988, maybe we'll come up with some kind of an answer as to just what it all meant. And I'd like to hear a lot of personal kind of reflections, milestones in your own lives, and various accomplishments and things like that. Give us a call at 632-6901. And, of course, 1988... perhaps may go down in the history books as the year that Brain Damage first came on the air here on WUSB. It's true. January of 1988. Sorry, I don't have the exact date. Maybe one of our loyal fans out there can remember that. But January of 1988, this program went on the air and has been back every Saturday since. But there's more to 1988 than that. At least I certainly hope so. And I have a difficult time thinking of just what I've accomplished in 1988 and what I have not accomplished, what I've set out to do and failed, what I've not set out to do and accomplished, the unexpected, whatever, the unexpected things that fate throws you. A few of those came my way. And I'm sure a few of those came everybody's way. Well, let's take a look at the news at the current moment. Maybe that will jar our minds a little bit into thinking about what just went on in 1988. What was all that, this last 12 months anyway? Yes, the latest news. Well, they couldn't get more prominent than President Reagan and President-elect Bush, but there's word. More big names will be subpoenaed for the Iran-Contra trial of Oliver North. interviewed by CBS News, an attorney for the fired White House aide, refused to say who the other major figures are. Rumors say that Johnny Carson and Michael Jackson are included. I'm sorry. The comment comes as sources say Reagan and Bush likely will fight having to testify by using a separation of powers argument and pleading insanity. I'm sorry again. And by contending their testimony is not relevant. Well, I would have to agree with that. Just wish they could make that some kind of a standing law, that testimony is not relevant no matter what they're talking about. Following the lead of Colombia, new story here, following the lead of Colombia, Venezuela has declared a moratorium on much of its foreign debt. Venezuelan President Jamlucinchi, sorry if I messed that up, has announced the moratorium on a large part of the $35 billion debt, saying new refinancing talks will begin in the month ahead. Just yesterday, Colombia announced a three-month suspension on its nearly $17 billion foreign debt. It's a heck of a foreign debt for a university, don't you think? Boy. Japan's prime minister has started the new year by acknowledging the public has lost confidence in his government. Don't forget, it's 1989 over there already. It's been 1989 for a while. A few hours. And you wonder why they're ahead of us. In remarks released at the start of 1989, Nobuo Takeshita accepts blame for the resignations of four cabinet ministers, two of whom left in a major stock scandal. This marks the first time that Takeshita is laying the blame for the scandal solely and explicitly on himself. Makes you wonder what he's up to. A fourth teenager has died in today's explosion in the garage of the Washington area home of a Brazilian embassy employee. Police in Bethesda, Maryland say the pre-dawn blast apparently was caused by a bomb, and there are indications that the boys were fooling around with explosives. Hundreds of people north of New Orleans have been allowed to return home after a fiery accident forced them to flee. Officials say a tanker trailer loaded with a hazardous chemical burst, the hazardous chemical burst into flames on Interstate 12. The fire has since died down to a smolder. Fog proved fatal in east central Illinois, messy in Florida, and downright confusing in Chicago. The visibility cutter resulted in several accidents in Illinois that claimed six lives, including a pileup on Interstate 74 involving some two dozen vehicles. 19 vehicles crashed into each other on a foggy stretch of I-95 in Florida. And the NFL's Chicago Bears beat the Philadelphia Eagles in a game played partly in dense fog. One Bears fan calls it the best game he's never seen. As millions of Americans are getting ready to toast the new year, drinking and driving is again a big issue across much of the country. The Anheuser-Busch Brewery is offering taxi rides home for thousands of drinking revelers in New Jersey. That's got to show the right brand of beer, I guess, to the taxi driver. The concern in Detroit is not only drinking and driving, but the customs of some residents of shooting guns into the air at the start of the new year. Calling it an insane practice, Detroit police are asking that 1989 begin without the gunfire. What a good idea. And that's how 1989 is beginning. With a bit of a whimper, I guess. 1988, the last year of President Reagan. This is it. Only a few more days altogether. What is it, the 15th, the 20th? Whatever day he gets out of there, then it's all over. All 8 years are gone. Incredible. But it won't mark the end of the Republican era. Now let's see what's happening in New York City tonight. Well, those revelers are ringing in 1989 again in celebrations ranging from the neon-lit Times Square in New York City to small square dance halls in Indiana. and a mountaintop in Colorado, some with champagne glasses, others promoting abstinence. Millions are expected to watch the traditional New Year's countdown on television as a 600-pound wrought iron ball descends a pole at Times Square. An estimated 400,000 were to see the 81-year-old tradition in person. A laser light show will also be part of the festivities. Many celebrated without such glitz. In Martinsville, Indiana, three square dance clubs were to do-si-do until 1 a.m. in the 4-H building at the Morgan County Fairgrounds. Members of the Ad-Am-N, whatever that means, members of the Ad-Am-N Club of Colorado Springs, Colorado, chose a more solitary setting to toast 1989. They were to light a fireworks display from the top of Pike's Peak, elevation 14,000 feet. Music played a role in many celebrations at the Grand Ballroom in the New Orleans Sheraton. The music of the Guy Lombardo Orchestra and swing were king. About 1,000 people had plans to dance 1988 away at a black tie affair at Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And about 1,000 state troopers in New Jersey are on duty to encourage motorists to obey the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit and reduce the number of traffic accidents. One group also moved to stop a dangerous New Year's Eve tradition in Detroit, which we've already talked about, but let's go into a little bit more detail. Save Our Sons and Daughters, which is made up of relatives and friends of slain Detroit children, asked residents to end the city's New Year's Eve skyward shooting spree. For several years at midnight, some residents have shot guns in the air. And in Philadelphia, one group eschewed making resolutions. Instead, they issued predictions for the first year. I'm sorry, for the past year. The ribbon's getting kind of light on this teletype here. Issued predictions for the past year. The Procrastinators Club of America released its 1988 New Year predictions today, as usual when the year is ending. The club's number one prediction was that George Bush would be elected president and then shoot quail over the Christmas holidays while vacationing in Texas. Some 400,000 people are expected to see the raucous ritual in Times Square, while millions more will be watching on television. In the past few years, viewers have seen a red apple slide down the flagpole atop the old Times building. But this year, the celebration goes back to a wrought iron ball, more like the one that was used when the tradition began in 1907. A 90-minute laser light show is also included in the festivities for the second consecutive year. And for those who want still more lights, simultaneous fireworks displays are planned for Central Park, South Street, Seaford, and Prospect Park in Brooklyn. At the Empire State Building, an hour-long light show beginning at the stroke of midnight will honor the new year and celebrate the centennial of the Eiffel Tower. In Central Park, thousands of runners plan to participate in a 5-mile run, complete with champagne refreshment along the way. And others will be ringing in the new year in restaurants and dance clubs, while still more plan to celebrate 1989 at home with a few loved ones and a lot of bubbly. And I guess those are the people that we want to hear from tonight, those people that have chosen to celebrate New Year's at home, or if you're on the road somewhere, you can pull over and give us a call, too. Our number is 632-6901, and if you want to do something nice for New Year's, you can make me feel a lot better by telling me that I'm not just speaking to myself here alone on New Year's Eve at a 4,000-watt radio station in Stony Brook. I could be out having fun right now. I could be doing all kinds of things. I was thinking of bringing along all the invitations that I had to send back, but that would be kind of, pompous, I guess, is the word. So I won't do that. But do give us a call, 632-6901. Tell us what 1988 meant to you. Anything interesting happened? It's been a whole year, you know. Something must have happened. What do you hope will happen in 1989? You know, that kind of thing. I know it's predictable, but New Year's comes but once a year. 632-6901, area code 516. Everyone can't be out there at parties and Times Square and that kind of thing. Well, I suppose it's possible. Don't know what else is going on around here. 632-6901. Let's get those calls lit up. Make me feel like a fool here. In Buffalo, it's not my fault that New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve turned out to be on Saturday nights, you know? I didn't ask for that. It just happens that way sometimes. Should have known. Should have known better. Anyway, in downtown Buffalo tonight, a glowing red ball, sound familiar, will glide down the 10-story Niagara Mohawk Tower to mark the beginning of the new year. Colorful, oh, that's better. That's better, folks. Okay, I see some phones lit up there. Now stay there. I'll get right to you. Brightens up my last few minutes in this year. Colorful lights, holiday decorations, and fireworks will also highlight festivities in Buffalo. The program of events scheduled to be held in Roosevelt Plaza is a first for Buffalo. I don't even know why I'm reading this. Who cares about Buffalo? They can't even get us up there. If anyone wants me to talk about Buffalo, I'll finish the story, but I don't think anyone really cares. Oh, that's nice, folks. Everybody except one person hung up. Well, I guess everyone felt they did their duty just by calling up and making the phone light up. Well, we want a little more from you in this program, you know. We want you to participate. And tonight we're asking a specific question. And we want different people to call up, not just the same voices over and over again. We want to know what happened in 1988. Was 1988 the year of peace? Was it the year that the planet Earth destroyed itself with pollution? Was it the year when you fell in love, made a fool of yourself? That kind of thing. 632-6901.
Come on.
Good evening.
How you doing, Eric?
Well, let me just say good evening. You're on Brain Damage. I'm doing fine, I guess. I wish some more people would call. Perhaps you could issue an appeal.
Yeah, well, I got people out there in CB listening, and they think this show is pretty good, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess I sort of know what you mean.
Yeah, you know who this is?
No, who is this?
This is Tommy Chong. Remember me from last week?
Refresh my memory, please.
Remember, I was at the Chinese restaurant last week, and what had happened was...
I didn't get a Chinese restaurant last week. I got a Chinese restaurant 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but remember last week and when you had callers on the line?
Yeah.
With Regis and Dave?
Yeah.
Does that ring a bell? It was about 12:30.
Yeah.
And I said hi to Mr. Ed, Tara, you know, all those people.
We did a marathon show, yes.
Yeah, you going to do one of those tonight?
I hope not.
You don't want to keep me on the line?
No, I don't. I just don't want to stay here for 4 hours like I did last time. I was exhausted.
Well, I'll keep you company, man.
Well, I don't know. I'll think about it. So what's 1988 mean to you? Is it?
Oh, I got fired from my job at the Chinese restaurant. I'm no longer working there.
Ah, well, was it at least a spectacular event?
Oh, yeah. I get to tell off my boss. He's probably out there listening on this radio station right now because he was listening. That's how he found out I was on.
Uh-huh. Well, is there anything you'd like to say to him at this special time of year and
well,
you
know, it's kind of
keeping
profound.
Keeping in mind that this is a family show.
All right. Boss, you're a nice guy, but you fired me, and I hate you. How's that?
Well, I'm sure there's something there that we could all relate to.
Yeah.
What do you hope to do in 1989?
Well, I don't know. Maybe work for your radio station.
Oh, boy. 1989 will be an exciting year then, won't it?
Yeah, I'm a DJ. I'm not a DJ, but... I noticed people on the CB listing right now.
On the CB?
Yup. Channel 40. See, they just said hello. Hey, guys, say hello to Eric. You hear him? They go wild.
That's amazing. Now, how far does your CB range?
It reaches, I don't know, I can talk, you know, if I talk skip, which is illegal, you know, I can talk all over.
Uh-huh.
But they're listening, they're calling me, but I'm not going to answer.
Okay, well, I don't suppose there's any ham radio people out there that can let us be bounced all over the world. That would be nice.
It's just CB, you know, push for watch, that's all.
Uh-huh.
It's not like, how much does your radio station push?
We push 4,000 watts.
Well, I only push 4.
Well, that's...
1/1,000th of that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. It's really strange.
So what else did you do in 1988 besides get fired?
Met a lot of people on the TV. What else? Started playing hockey.
Uh-huh. Started playing hockey?
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't know. Listening to different music.
What kind of music do you like?
Van Halen, Poison.
Did Van Halen have a new album in 1988?
Yes, OU812.
What's that?
OU812.
Okay, was it one of their better ones?
Well, it wasn't the best. I think the best one was maybe 1984 or Van Halen 1, but that was the old Van Halen, so.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. What kind of music do you listen to?
Oh, we get about 100 records a week at this radio station, and I just kind of dive into whatever passes by, so it's kind of hard to say what specific style I listen to.
I see.
You know, a little folk, a little rock, a little jazz. Not really. I don't listen to very much jazz, actually.
Uh-huh.
That's, I just don't have time, you know?
Wait, how old are you?
Oh, I can't say that. Yeah, that's against FCC regulations.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So that means do you still go to school there?
I'm affiliated with the school.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool then, isn't it?
It's a good place to be affiliated with.
Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people who are going to be there in the future. Hopefully.
Well, that's good.
I don't know.
So, you have any other plans for this evening, or are you going to usher in the new year quietly?
I'd like to stay on the radio station and take calls with you, if that's okay.
Well, I don't know if that's possible. There aren't any more calls. Maybe you could get people to call
in. Hold on 1 second. Hey, guys, everybody out there in CB Rain, start calling.
Only if you have something to say, though. I don't want to get all these people screaming and yelling.
Oh, there'll be people calling. There's no lights lit up. Are you serious?
No. Oh, there's one light. Okay, we can do better than that. We've got three more lights that aren't lit up.
I see.
I just want to see them light up. I mean, I want to see people talk on them, too, not just light up and hang up.
Maybe my boss will call up, yeah?
You think your boss will call up?
It's a possibility.
I have the strong feeling that he might.
I don't know. He should call up, because from what he said, he's like, thank you for making me listen to this station. Now, you know, he has a piss to listen to this station.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. He thinks it's pretty funny.
Okay, we've got, including you, we have three lines lit up. We have two more open, and actually one person just hung up, so we have three lines that are open right now. At 632-6901, we're talking about 1988, and, I'm going to let you go now.
Oh, you're not going to let me stay on?
I don't think so. Not now. Maybe if you call back later.
All right, I will.
We can try that later.
Okay, that's great.
All right?
Call back later.
Okay.
All right, have a happy new year.
I'll
talk
try.
To you later.
Bye-bye. 632-6901. We have all this information here that came over the teletype about what an amazing year 1988 was. I'd like to hear it from the words of our listeners first before we dive into all that stuff. So give us a call, 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hi. Hello? Am I on the air?
Yeah, you don't have to scream, though.
I'm sorry very much. That little bastard told you he got fired?
I suppose you're his boss.
Damn it, he quit.
He quit.
He owes me $85.
How could he owe you $85?
He stole it.
Oh. Well,
who's this?
This is his arbitrator, I guess.
Who's that? Hello?
How did I get in the middle of this?
He stole money from my cash register, damn it!
Well, I suggest as a New Year's resolution you, forgive and forget and all those other nice things.
Oh no, not me.
No, why not?
Oh, I'm gonna kill that little bastard.
Well, not on the radio. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hi, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
All right, what's up?
Where are you calling from?
Port Jefferson.
Port Jefferson?
Yeah.
And how has 1988 treated you?
Pretty good. I just really wanted to get those guys off the air. That's why I called.
I appreciate that. I wish we'd get more callers so that we wouldn't have to dwell on all these like petty arguments that people are having.
Yeah, really. I agree.
Anything historical happened to you in this past year?
No.
Didn't get fired or anything like that?
No, I didn't get fired from any place.
Well, that's an accomplishment in itself, then.
Yeah.
You think 1988 will be an important year in history?
Oh, well, I guess, yeah, it's pretty important. It's the first year all the garbage started washing up on shore.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Did you see Time Magazine named Planet Earth Man of the Year or Thing of the Year or whatever they did?
No.
Because the planet is so endangered that this is the year we came to realize that the actual planet is in danger of extinction.
Yeah, it's about time they realized that.
Yeah, it's, a lot of people have known that since the 60s at least.
Yeah, for quite a while.
So, yeah, with the garbage barges and the garbage washing up on shore and all that kind of thing. It's,
yeah, I agree with you there.
Make it painfully obvious.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a happy new year.
Okay. I'll try.
Thanks a lot.
Now we have some calls here. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi. Let me just turn on the radio. So, how's life, Chris? Not, you're not Chris, aren't you? No, you're Eric.
I don't think I'm Chris. If I was Chris, it would be an interesting year, that's for sure.
Mm.
But
so,
1988 seemed to be a fairly interesting year. You know, it seemed like things were always going on.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It's the year we brought in Bush. How did we do that?
Well,
that's still a
did you expect that to happen, or were you surprised?
Well, actually, I thought for a moment there that Dukakis might have a chance, but then sort of like my hopes were crushed. So, oh well.
So, what does it mean for 89 and beyond? Are we going to will there be more homeless people on the streets?
More homeless people on the streets, more pollution in the air, all that stuff. See, but the thing is, I think is that. Bush is more dangerous because he knows what he's doing.
Well, now, do you think that Bush goes in there and says, I want to have more homeless people on the street, I want to make more pollution, I want to make war, that kind of thing?
I kind of think he goes in there saying, I want to please the rich.
Well, I don't think he has to worry.
Hmm. Oh, well.
What is it that he does that makes that the result, where more people are homeless and there's more pollution, if that's the way it turns out? Why is it because of him?
Hmm. Well, he's the guy running the show, I guess, sort of.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But
these questions are too hard, don't ask me.
We have to know why the effect comes about. We can't just say because this guy's a Republican that he...
deregulation, yeah.
Thank you, anonymous person. Okay, deregulation. How does deregulation make these things come about?
Well, if you're not going to regulate industry and you're not going to make the industries, you know, stop pollution and everything, then, I mean, he's not, like, trying to regulate industry because he doesn't want to hurt industry.
This is a different caller, isn't it?
Yeah, that was my friend. His name is Darren.
Okay, well, I appreciate them coming in there at this kind of...
Well, he's sort of, like, pretty good social studies, so...
Uh-huh.
Just say it over the air, he's blushing.
Social studies, huh?
Anyway, you want me to read something? I like reading things.
Did you write it?
Actually, no, I didn't write it.
What's
this
it about?
This is by Bob Guccione Jr.
Okay.
Okay. It's from Spin Magazine, of course. And this is basically a rundown of the year. There's a saying which suggests the questionable sanity in starting the same magazine twice. Oh, no, that's about... okay. Here we go. The Chinese have the colorful tradition of identifying each new year with an animal, every so many years repeating them on some sort of eternal loop. This should take the past year. They should take this past year as an opportunity to introduce a new one, and officially make 88 the year of the ostrich, because in 1988 America buried its head in the sand and refused to accept how obviously awful some things were, refused to deal with ever worsening reality. Like a nation on barbiturates, we watched numbly as television paraded past us the banana republic-like corruption in the Reagan administration. Bush and Dukakis' painful ineptness, Quayle's frightening proximity to power, Mises' blatant contempt for justice, the dying disenfranchised AIDS population, the ongoing atrocity in South Africa, highlighted by the Mandela concert, low-pointed by the same concert becoming little more than a Coca-Cola commercial when broadcast here. The TV news chronicled the disintegrating environment in a race to a gruesome finish with the economy and American education to see which will fall apart first. When we could summon the collective energy to change the channel, we changed it to MTV and blamed everything on music. In 1988, we prosecuted Judas Priest and people who owned record stores in a surreal trial by proxy for the crimes of Boesky, Reagan, and Bush, the polluters, and the inner city drug cartels. And then we nodded off to sleep in front of the twitching, pixelating glass screen. When we woke in the morning, the Today Show was flickering and jabbering at us, and we saw Jane Pauley grinning contently at Willard Scott, who looked like a Mooney walrus sitting in the set's couch, turning shiny yellow tomatoes over in his big fat hands and gushing how wonderfully yellow tomatoes are, and how much he loves them, until finally, even the producer must have whispered into his earphone to change the subject. All this less than 2 months before we had to elect a president to lead us through what might well most be the most precarious period in our mostly fortunate history. And we not only didn't complain, I don't think enough of us even noticed. It was a year, as I suppose most are, of ironic paradoxes. It was the year that pop music was taken seriously, and that the most serious musical statement made on behalf of Nelson Mandela at Freedom Fest were taken so casually that they were appropriated in broad daylight to sell Coca-Cola. And it was the year in which the quintessential vapid, catchy pop song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, perfectly defined the depth and extent of current political dialogue. We sat idly by. We elected an idiot to the White House. In 1988, we were more than cowards, we were fools. We held the coat while someone else beat us up. That's Bob Guccione Jr. from December Spin.
Oh, what does he know?
Hmm.
But that's one way of looking at 1988.
I guess. I mean, there's some good things happening, at least on a personal level, but I think...
Well, what kind of things? You can be general.
Well, I found out I had friends, basically.
We always have friends.
Yeah, but sometimes you forget.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sometimes it takes something to reinforce that.
Uh-huh.
So you want to speak to Darren?
Sure.
No, he doesn't want to speak to you.
Well, I guess Darren's not a true friend then.
Well, he doesn't have anything to say.
That never stopped anyone else, did it?
That's true. He says if he had something to say, he'd say it, but... ...
Uh-huh.
You want me to force him on the phone?
No. It's not a violent show. Power Surge is a violent show. We don't do violence here.
Well, anyway, well, hope you guys at 90.1 WSB have a really sort of...
We understand what you're trying to say, and we don't like it a bit.
Have a really sort of cool time, except... Is anyone else there? I mean, are you all...
Yeah, well, no, there's people floating around here, but none of us really have the spirit, if you know what I mean. It's just like, you know, okay, another
year. 12 o'clock.
I don't know what we're going to do at 12 o'clock. If anyone has any suggestions, please...
The kazoos and...
I don't know. You know, this is going to be the most low-key New Year's I've ever spent in my life, I think.
What did you do last New Year's?
Last New Year's? I forget what I did. I don't know. I was around someplace, though, when the ball fell. I always am aware of it. Either watching it on TV, usually with a bunch of people, or at some kind of party somewhere. You know, I thought it would be a nice change, though, just not to do that.
Hmm.
But who knows? We'll see what the next hour and 19 minutes bring.
Well, just think, at least we're done with 8 years of Reagan's bad jokes about the Russians.
Yeah, well, a lot has changed in 8 years.
A lot has changed.
All of a sudden, Russians are human beings.
Hmm.
It's amazing how they've evolved so much in 8 years.
Well... Hasta luego.
Okay.
Happy
New
Year.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. The battle against the deadly disease AIDS in 1988 saw no cure, little hope, and a lot of controversy. The number of American AIDS victims who have died crossed the 45,000 mark in 1988. In the United States, a new AIDS case was being reported every 14 minutes for a total of more than 30,000 this year. Controversy abounded. Sex therapist William Masters and Virginia Johnson published a widely criticized book which said the AIDS virus was running rampant in the heterosexual community. President Reagan's Special Commission on AIDS recommended federal anti-discrimination laws to protect victims of the disease, and the president declined to endorse the proposal, referring the matter to the Justice Department. Congress took action on its own, voting for up to $800 million a year for new programs and research to fight AIDS, but plans to ensure the confidentiality of persons tested for AIDS were dropped because of strong conservative opposition. The Food and Drug Administration approved a quick test for AIDS that takes only 5 minutes. But during an international conference in Sweden last June, participants agreed they've made little progress toward treating or curing AIDS. That's, one aspect of 1988, which certainly is not too pleasant. Some personalities of 1988. Did I say 68? I meant to say 88 if I did. Irving Berlin turned 100 this year. Hugh Hefner decided to tie the knot, while Mike Tyson, Robin Givens, Bruce Springsteen and Julian Phillips decided otherwise. Jane Fonda had some second thoughts about some of the things she did during the Vietnam War and told ABC's Barbara Walters she was sorry. The Reverend Jimmy Swaggart said he was sorry, too. Dennis Conner didn't feel the least bit sorry about using a catamaran to hold on to the America's Cup. An unapologetic New Jersey principal named Joe Clark demonstrated his ability to speak loudly and carry a big stick, too. And Oprah Winfrey wasn't at all sorry about dropping 66 pounds. Susan Butcher won her third... I did Tarot? What is that? Daredevil pilot Matthias Rust was released by the Soviets. The townspeople of 88 Kentucky felt it was their year, especially on August 8th. Gretchen Elizabeth Carlson felt the same way as she became Miss America. One of her predecessors, Bess Meyerson, also made headlines for a different reason. The British royal family grew by one in 1988 with the birth of Princess Beatrice of York, and we spent more than $1 million to save two of three whales trapped in the ice off Alaska. The third died. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't know. It's almost 1989 and there's nothing to say.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Why is that?
I don't know. It's just been the year of nothingness.
I think the 80s have been the decade of nothingness. But then if that's true, what were the 70s?
Oh, my God.
Because that sure felt like nothing.
Yeah. I think the 70s were, in fact, worse.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I was sort of oblivious to the fact, man, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, has 1988 brought anything to you worth commenting on?
Worth comment? No.
Boy.
No, not really.
Well, what do you hope 1989 will bring?
I don't know. I can try to be optimistic about it, but it doesn't do much good, so...
Optimistic, what, on a personal level or on a global level?
On a more global level.
Yeah?
Level, I guess I can be optimistic, but...
Well, what do you think is the major problem facing us now?
As what, globally?
Or... Yeah.
I don't know.
You think we're any closer to peace in this year?
Maybe a tad closer, but after all, they do have that treaty and stuff, and, you know, I'll give Reagan credit for that, but, I don't know.
Well, what are you going to be doing at around midnight?
Around midnight? Absolutely nothing. I'm sitting at home, and, well, my parents went off to a party, and I don't know, I'm just sitting here doing nothing.
Uh-huh. Well, are you happy sitting there doing nothing?
Yes, I'm enjoying the quiet, actually.
That's a good way to ring in a year, I think.
Yes, quietly.
Just quietly slip in and not notice that the year has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Half the world right now is 1 year, and half the world is another year. It's a unique time of the year when that happens.
It'd be interesting if they could keep it that way.
Well, sometimes I feel like it's that way, in many ways. But, all right, thanks for calling. Have a happy new year.
All right,
and walk around the house safely.
Yes, okay. I'll try not to trip over anything.
No, don't drink and walk around the house.
Oh, no, it's very dangerous.
Yes.
Okay.
632-6901. It's important to know what not to do. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. How's it going with you?
Pretty good.
Did you call before?
No.
Oh, okay. Then what's on your mind tonight?
Nothing really. Just... like your show.
Well, that's good to hear. Was 1988 a good year for you?
Not really good.
Was it bad?
No, it just went by so fast.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it is. Years didn't seem to go by that fast before. You know, many years ago, it seemed like a year was a long time. Now years just, they go by so quickly.
Yeah.
Do you think time is being sped up somehow, or do you think we're changing?
Probably we're changing.
How?
I don't know.
It's scary.
Very.
I mean, you know, you blink and a year's gone by. It's like, what have you done?
A lot of things. But just went by so fast.
Well, do you think 1989 is going to be a better year, or are we going downhill, or what?
Both.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a little bit better, but again, probably go down.
Uh-huh.
Remember how you asked for an idea to do a...
Yeah.
Well... Why don't you take off all your clothes and run around the house screaming?
Well, obviously I can't do that because I'm not at home, but that's an interesting thing to pass along to the listeners. Is that what you plan on doing?
Maybe.
Well, I wish you luck. Remember, don't drink and run around the house, as we were saying before, especially if you're going to be doing that. It could be very hazardous. And if you have any pets, you might want to keep them in another room, otherwise they might be frightened to death. But that's one interesting way of ringing in the new year.
Yeah.
I wish you luck.
Okay. Do you mind if I take off?
I'll put you on hold and we'll come back to you. How's that?
Okay.
All right. We'll see if the other people want to be linked together with this caller. It will be their option. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I've been on hold for like a long time.
Well, no, actually, the phone has been ringing. You haven't been on hold.
I mean, same diff here.
Except that you're not paying for it when you're not on hold.
Yeah, that's a good bargain. That's a good bargain. You
can't beat the price.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could possibly, give my address up and everything like that.
Why are you beeping, sir?
I'm offended that you even mentioned that. Could I do that maybe? I'm calling long distance.
Where are you calling from?
From Colorado here.
Well, wait a minute. Why are you calling from Colorado? Our signal can't possibly get out to Colorado.
I get it. I got a shortwave radio here.
Now, I find that very hard to believe.
But anyway, to make a long story short, we here in Littleton here have like a record label and everything like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
Could I possibly maybe give my address and people could write for free music? Well, music of all kinds. Anyone who wants to participate in our like many compilations and millions of cassette releases, they can write for a free catalog, or if they know what they want, they can just write for a free tape, or we do a magazine too called Spinal Jaundice.
Tell me something, sir. Do you send us material?
Do I?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I have sent a couple cassettes. Have you heard of the band Black Cabbage?
I think I have.
That's my band there.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well, you make sure you send things to USB, because we do tend to play original material by starting out bands. And
That's absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
We've been like a label and a band for 4 years, though. So.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, would it be feasible to give my address?
I guess you could do that. If you can get through it, go right ahead.
Okay. Address here for anyone who wants to write for free weird cassettes. Is write to Mike, Mike DC at 7647 South Pierce Way. Pierce is spelled P-I-E-R-C-E Way, and that's Littleton of Colorado, 80123. Is there any way you could repeat that, like make it echo again so people could catch that?
No, but you could repeat it.
All right.
I can't make it echo.
It's Mike at 7647 South Pierce Way, Littleton, Colorado, 80123. And if you're paying real close attention, I'll read my phone number real fast. It's 303-979-5763.
Wow.
Great.
Well, that's you're the first call that we've gotten from Colorado, although, you know, I really have my doubts that our signal is getting out there. But that's okay, you know, people call this show for all different reasons.
Yeah, I have a friend that lives in Peru. He'll probably be calling, like, tonight sometime at some point.
Okay, well, as long as he knows that while the phone is ringing, he doesn't have to pay for that. He can hang on, you know, for 10 minutes.
That's a great bargain. You know, you guys have a great bargain.
It's our way of passing along the savings to you.
Yes, that's the consumer. So what you're saying is that the current weight of the economic structure lays on people of America. Is that what you're basically aiming at?
Basically,
it's feasible for me to assume that.
It's feasible, economically feasible.
I think it's plausible at the same time.
Well, you know, 1988, I think, was a very economically plausible year.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that we witnessed the departure of a little bit of the American ingenuity that has made this country great up till now.
That's true. Those engines are gone for good, I think. But what time is it over there?
Hey, almost 9 p.m. here. How about there?
Oh, you're in Mountain Time. It's almost 11 o'clock here. We only have an hour to go before it's 1989. Hello, sir? Sir? Are you there? He must have been using one of those newfangled long-distance companies. That happens occasionally when you do that. 632-6901. That's our phone number. Are you still there, caller?
Yes.
Okay, well, that guy was from Colorado, so there's no way he could answer the question of whether or not he wanted to be, talked to by you. But we'll see if the next few callers want to be, okay?
I knew that guy.
You knew that guy?
Yes.
Well, now that's something. How could you know somebody all the way in Colorado? Oh, boy. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Yeah, it's Adam.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Okay.
What are you doing this last remaining hour of 1988?
My parents as well are at a party, and I'm left here at home.
You think all the parents have gone to the same party? That's like one parent's party on Long Island?
I think it's a conspiracy.
Wow. Have you ever seen what parents do at these parties?
No, and it must be kind of scary.
It must be, you know. They never bring the kids, so you have to wonder.
Oh.
Wow.
Maybe that's why Dad always has a smile on his face when he comes back.
That could be.
Could be.
So, you're in the house all by yourself?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea.
I don't think I've ever seen such a large number of people that had no idea what was going on. Okay, let me ask you, what was 1988 like? Was it a good year? And don't say you don't know, and don't say nothing happened.
I think that 1988 had its good points and it had its bad points.
Okay, what were some of the bad points?
The bad points?
Yeah.
Were, let's see, first of all, most recently, this not besides the Pan Am disaster, everyone knows that's bad, it's like you don't have to say it, but what really upset me was that, you know when they had the earthquake in Armenia?
Right.
Okay, before that, the Armenians were having demonstrations against the Soviets because they wanted to self-rule because, you know, you remember after World War II, the Soviets just took it over and annexed it.
Right.
So the Armenians were demonstrating for self-rule. Then this earthquake comes, and it gives them a perfect opportunity. First of all the demonstrators that were in the street died. And second of all, it gave the Russians a perfect opportunity to send in more troops without looking bad.
Yeah, is that what they did?
Yeah, basically. And nobody ever mentioned it either.
Well, I know that there hasn't really been much demonstrations in Armenia because of that, but I don't know if you can blame the troops.
Before the earthquake there were, because they wanted self-rule.
Right, before the earthquake there were, but I think they've been a bit preoccupied after the earthquake, although Gorbachev said that a lot of people were demonstrating anyway, even though there was an earthquake. They didn't seem to care about that as much as they cared about independence, which seemed kind of odd to him.
Yeah, it would seem odd, too.
I don't know, I think it's a little too early to tell if the Soviets have crushed that by moving in their troops. I don't think that would be very feasible at this stage.
Hmm. I think the biggest problem that we have, though, is overpopulation.
Uh-huh.
Everyone says AIDS, but that doesn't kill as many people as overpopulation will. Overpopulation is why the environment's going to crap.
Well, basically everything ties into just too many people trying to take too much.
Yeah, did you ever see the charts, you know, when they say how many people there'll be now and then in like 10 years from now and then 10 years after that?
I haven't looked at one of those charts in a while, but I imagine it's pretty depressing.
Yeah, it's from the Middle Ages on. It was like, you know, barely crept up. Then suddenly it hits like the 1800s and it starts going whoosh. And like about 15 years from now or 20 years from now, it's going to be going straight up. Like every couple years, the population will double.
That's really something. I mean, the population now is about 5 billion.
Yeah, just past that.
You're saying it's going to be 10 billion fairly soon.
Yeah, pretty in another 5 years.
Well, we don't need a nuclear war then. We'll take care of ourselves with good old human beings.
Yeah, and the Catholic Church says, oh yeah, well, we still have to be fruitful and multiply. And it's like, well, if there are enough of...
Well, I don't think you can blame the Catholic Church when most of the people are probably Chinese anyway.
Yeah, except that the Chinese, it's now illegal in China to have more than one child.
That's true. At least they're doing something about it.
Yeah. The only thing is, it's illegal to have more than one female child. You can have as many male children as you want.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's true. But that's because you only need one male and one female, no matter, see what I mean, to have another kid.
That seems like kind of strange logic to me.
You also want more men in China because even though supposedly it's equality, they still need more people for their workforce because they are an emerging superpower.
Uh-huh.
So they're building up their industry. They need a lot of people to work.
Makes sense.
So, and in China, most women still just are, you know, a lot of people won't like the expression, but, you know, barefoot and pregnant.
Well, you know, it seems to me the only solution to a lot of our problems, and I'll give you a chance to see if you come up with the same idea. What do you think the only practical solution is?
Me?
Yeah.
I think that it's basically everywhere, just big programs to keep people from having as many kids as they do.
That's not it. That's not it. That's something else.
Drop tactical nuclear weapons?
No. What's the main problem here? The main problem is that we are running out of space. There's too many people trying to compete for too little.
Yeah, and space is the answer, but corporations don't want to do that because, you know, there's not enough short-term profit in it.
Well, I think someone's going to have to take the first big step, and then once we start, we won't be able to stop.
I think Trump should just build a casino up there, and, like, that'll get it going.
Well, if people can live in some of the most hostile climates imaginable in the United States and around the world, outer space really shouldn't be that big a deal.
If people can survive in the South Bronx and they can survive on the moon, because on the moon you're not going to have people mugging you from behind every crater.
Well, once we get there, I think you might have that, but not initially. Anyway, it'll be safe for a little while. But not just that. I mean, we're talking infinity here. You know, we're worried about running out of space and using up all our resources, but we still have all of infinity that we haven't even touched yet. It just seems kind of silly to me, you know.
Yeah, because a lot of people, it seems. Did you see in one of today's I won't mention the name because that'll be a plug.
Okay.
But one of today's major news, Long Island newspapers.
I believe Long Island only has one newspaper.
Yes, but I won't mention the name because that would be a plug.
Okay.
Okay.
We don't want that.
No, we don't. This is a non-commercial radio station.
That's what it is. Yes.
Like that. The worst thing is the religious station that opened up right next door.
I don't want to talk about the religious station.
Right, but they're definitely the worst.
That's true. I don't want to even talk about them. But
okay.
What do they have to do with the newspaper?
Anyway, but in the newspaper they had about how the six most common ways people made money in 1988, right?
Uh huh.
And not one of them had anything to do with capital investments like industry.
Who were these people?
Who were they? People like some guy from Philip Morris who was the president of like Kraft for 6 months, and then they were bought, and he made like $8 million in 6 months. And Mike Tyson, and just somebody who won the lottery. People like that. Those are the people who made the most money in 1988. And the six most common ways people got rich in 1988. Not one of them was from capital investment. From like people. In industry.
I mean, no one made money the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, by actually building things and selling them. Because when you do make something in industry, you're really making money if you think about it. Because, you know, long-term use consumer goods like cars and washing machines. You know, because how often do most people buy a washing machine, you know? Every 15 years or so.
About that.
Yeah, things like that. I mean, it's, you know, long-lasting consumer goods, you know, made by heavy industry are really what keeps the industry going, and nobody made a lot of money by doing that. They could have if they tried, but there was more short-term profit, you know, quick, fast money.
Well, I think we're in it for immediate gratitude, and nothing helps that feeling more than things like lotteries.
Yeah, but people
don't have to work to get $1 million. You can just get it by filling in a certain number.
Yeah, if you're lucky, now you can even send away to people and they'll pick numbers for you and guarantee that you'll win.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, because it's like, well, if they pick the number, you pick the number. It's the same, except that you're sending them more money.
Do they get a share of that if you win?
No, but they use you in promotional things, and you they make you sign this thing saying that, I know because they sent me crap in the mail, they wanted me to buy it from them. It's like, no, thank you.
Oh, boy.
Besides that people under 18 can't buy the lottery anyway.
Uh-huh.
Which is pretty dumb, but... So they're allowed to use you in any promotional material they want. So, like, they can make you appear on for, like, a TV commercial, and you get absolutely nothing from it.
That's a lot of fun.
Not really.
No, not really. Any predictions for
1989? 1989? I think that Israel is going to get into another war with someone.
They're just going to look around and say who wants to
I think that, what's his name, Arafat is just not really serious. Either that or they're going to get into a war with some other faction. Anyway, there's going to be some big, large-scale violence there.
Well, it's quite possible, yes.
There's large-scale violence there every year. So
that's true.
They haven't had peace for 1 year for in like 50 years, which is... I think that with relations with the Soviets, they're going to get better, and there's going to be more business ventures between us.
I hope so. Maybe this year we'll be able to call them directly instead of having to go through an operator.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Their country code is 7, but it doesn't work when you try it.
No, it unfortunately doesn't. And let's see what else is going to happen. Something's going to happen. They're going to go and bomb the people who... And like, you know, make another surgical strike on the people who bombed the Pan Am flight.
Who do you think that was?
Who do I think it was? I think it was, like, the people that claimed credit for it, the other faction of the PLO that doesn't like Arafat. And it's funny, they bombed the PLO flight to get back at Arafat for doing something with Israel. And it's like, this has nothing to do with Arafat and nothing to do with Israel, so what do? They kill a couple of college kids and some old people coming back from vacation on an airplane.
Well, no one said terrorism made sense.
No, unfortunately it doesn't. Well, I guess it doesn't matter anyway. It doesn't make sense.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the response is and what the investigation uncovers.
And they're going to dismantle... There's going to be another nuclear weapons treaty, probably.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter because there are so many of them.
And yeah, but you got to start chipping away at them somewhere, and I think we probably made more progress this year than any year I can remember.
To tell you the truth, though, we needed them in the past during the Cold War. We needed them because it's the only thing we kept the peace during the Cold War. Because, you know, we had them and they had them. It's like if one person used them, then the other person would strike back.
I think the thing that will keep the peace more than anything is knowing what will happen if you do use them. You don't even need to have them once you know that.
I'm saying, but that's the only thing that, you know, it's like we pointed a gun at them and they pointed a gun at us, and neither of us would pull the trigger because the other one would be able to pull it before they were dead.
You think that's the only reason?
I think during the Cold War, it's like that. That's the only reason why we didn't, but now...
Are you saying that if they weren't able to blast us back, we would have had no problem blasting them?
We would have already, I'm saying.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, but it is true.
I don't know. I hope it's not, because if it is, it's unforgivable, that kind of mentality.
Anyway, so, and that would have happened, but now since there are more like joint business things between the two countries, then it's like, well, our government won't be so quick to, if something happened, you know, to bomb them, because because, you know, a lot of the lobbyists wouldn't be too happy. And the lobbyists is where most of the government people get a lot of their money.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, it's like if they shoot them, then they'll lose money out of their own pocketbook, which is, it's sad, but it's true. That's the way things just work.
You sound like a pessimist.
I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist.
Same thing.
It's just that's the way it is for real. It's like if you want to look at it, you know, how you want it to be, that's fine. You can say, well, we can work to make it like this, but it's not like that now, and we have to, you know, face that fact. And you can't accomplish anything unless you realize that this is the way it is. And it's not that you can't change it. It's just you have to realize, like a drug addict has to realize, or an alcoholic has to realize that he's an alcoholic before he can recover. See what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's like, I equate utopianism with alcoholism or something.
I see, yeah, I see a parallel.
You said it, like, destroys your liver or something, but it's, like, the same way.
Well, it's an interesting theory. We're going to move on to some other calls, though.
Yeah, I've taken up enough of your time.
Okay, well, have a happy new year, and we're only, 52 minutes away.
And counting.
And counting, yes.
All right, have a nice day.
You too. Unless you're in Denver, of course, then you have 2 hours and 52 minutes, or however long a period there is. I believe that's correct. Our number is 632-6901, and 1988 was another year lost for most of the hostages in Lebanon. Soon after the start of the year, kidnappings made a comeback as a form of political expression in Lebanon. In January, a West German became the first hostage taken in Lebanon in more than half a year. The abduction appeared to be linked to the trial in West Germany of an accused Lebanese kidnapper. In February, U.S. Marine Lieutenant Colonel William Higgins was kidnapped while heading a United Nations Truce Observer group. With Higgins, 9 Americans were missing in Lebanon, a number that remains unchanged. Freedom was to be had for hostages from France and West Germany. Both countries denied making any concessions to the abductors, but both also cited diplomatic exchanges with Iran. Also freed were, Mithela Shwar Singh, a citizen of India whose home is in the U.S. For the American captives, 1988 was a year of threats. Singh's captors called for the U.S. to support the Palestinian uprising in Israeli-occupied lands. Another faction threatened the lives of its hostages in retaliation for the U.S. downing of an Iran air jetliner. And then in December, kidnappers accused William Higgins of being an Israeli spy and vowed to execute him. Terry Anderson, the longest-held hostage, was heard from in late October, more than 3.5 years after his abduction. The American journalist said in the videotape the U.S. had not done enough to gain his release. And that's one look at 1988. Give us a call, 632-6901. We have 50 minutes left in this year, and then it's all gone forever. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, how you doing? My name's Frank.
Hi, Frank, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I just got to fill you in on a couple of things here.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, my brother, because of your show, thinks he was fired from a Chinese restaurant. He never worked at a Chinese restaurant.
Well, wait, let me understand. Because of my show, he thinks that he was fired from a Chinese restaurant.
Yes.
I have to explain that to me.
And my other brother wants to run around the house naked.
Oh, boy. So this is all your family, huh?
You know, I was just calling to apologize.
Well, that's okay. You know, it's not like I have to witness it or anything. That's something. Well, I guess you're going to probably leave home in 89, eh?
I'm going to try.
Yeah. Well, I wish you luck.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. 632-6901. Yes, 1989 is a year of insanity, I believe, coming up. What else happened in 88? North and South. Yes, the United States wasn't alone in holding national elections this year. Canada and Mexico elected leaders as well. Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney won a second term in his country's elections on November 21st, beating out opponents John Turner and Edward Broadbent. It was an election dominated by a single issue, the free trade agreement between Canada and the U.S. that Mulroney and President Reagan had signed last January. Mulroney's opponents scored points by attacking the accord, which some Canadians fear will Americanize Canada. But the progressive conservatives prevailed. Mulroney interpreted his victory as a clear mandate to implement the free trade agreement in the new year. And south of the border, Mexico held its presidential election on July 6th and inaugurated its president on December 1st. The election of Carlos Salinas de Gortari was marred by charges of fraud. The opposition's anger spilled over into Inauguration Day as Miguel de la Madrid stepped down after six years as president. Sorry about that. 6 long, hard years. And Salinas took office. Promising political and economic reform, Salinas said in his inaugural address that his administration would respond to citizens' demands for political plurality, yes, and effective participation. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Listen up, humanoids. Give me 1 minute.
Humanoids? How do I get the feeling I'm not going to like this? Okay, enough of that. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes, this is Vivek of Cibiablo. Calling from Troutville, New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay, all right, go ahead.
I have a couple questions for any of the listeners, or you, possibly. I was wondering if it was possible to be connected with one of the people on hold. Would that work? Would that work with the ethics of your show?
Well, nobody's on hold.
Pardon?
Nobody's on hold.
Don't you have someone that handles all the distribution of the calls?
No, all calls are handled automatically by themselves.
The predator, the pack rat, the worst enemy.
Oh, no, we don't allow TV on the air. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
All right.
That's good.
Are you letting people take calls yet? This is the guy who called first, remember me?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll let people take calls if we get a bingo, and we don't have a bingo. We have four open lines, so...
Everybody out there, call 632-6901, please!
Yeah, but I'd like if people have something to say, you know? It's...
Yeah, I know.
Everyone is saying that this year meant nothing to them, and they really play me TV sets and strange beeping
noises. That was a scene guy from Colorado.
That's what it sounded like to me.
He really is in Colorado. To tell you the truth, remember that tape with the telephone calls? That's one of the guys.
Uh-huh.
He's the one who recorded it.
Well, that doesn't mean he can get away with this kind of nonsense.
Really calling from Colorado.
Uh-huh.
But I doubt he can hear you.
I really doubt he can hear us. So you called before. I'm not going to ask you what 1988 meant to you.
Well, it meant a lot, really.
Yeah, I don't know if 1988 meant anything to anybody.
It was a great year.
Why?
I don't know. It just was. I mean, look at the Rangers right now and Hockey. They're doing good right now, aren't they?
That's how you judge how good a year is, by how the Rangers are doing?
Uh-huh.
Boy. I'll tell you, that's...
And wait.
There's
my
something
hockey
to learn
team,
here.
My hockey team also made it into the playoffs. That's another good thing.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to read some more things about 1988.
Can I stand along with you?
What's that?
Can I stand along with you and maybe comment?
Well, I've got a couple of the calls right now.
I stay on with you?
I'll put you on hold. If somebody expresses a will to be connected to you, I will certainly do that. 632-6901. And we have some trivia questions. And if you want to answer the trivia questions, feel free. If you don't want to answer the trivia questions, that's fine. The first one, having to do with 1988. What was the most controversial night game in 74 years? That is the question. What was the most controversial night game in 74 years? A 1988 trivia question, which you'll probably never hear again. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Good evening, Mr. Corley.
Good evening, Mr. Voice. How are you?
Very good. Are there any other calls on hold?
Yes, in fact, hold on a minute. Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, this is going to be great. Let's see what we got here. Okay, we're going to do that. Then we're going to hit these strange buttons here. And then we're going to do this. Okay, you folks are now connected together.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, who is this?
This is, Tommy.
This is Stiltskin here.
Stiltskin, how you doing?
Yeah, very good. You like listening to 90.1 WSB?
Oh, yeah.
You like the wide variety of the music that they play?
Oh, I don't really care about the music. I just like this show.
You like the talk shows?
Oh, yeah.
That's good. You're an avid talk show listener?
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
Especially with Eric. Eric's like the best guy, you know?
Yeah, he's very intelligent.
Shucks.
His facial hair, too. Have you ever met Eric?
Okay, so we're going to put them on hold at that point and go on to another call. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hey, Eric.
How you doing?
What's up?
What?
What's up?
What's up? Well, we just asked a trivia question.
All right. Isn't it the Cubs game when they played them next?
That's very good. It is the Cubs. The one at Chicago's Wrigley Field on August 9th. Of course, they don't say why, but the fact was that it was the first... night game ever to be played at that stadium. That was 1988 for you.
Like some kind of deal, I can win some money?
No, there's no money to be won, but you can win recognition.
Alright,
I don't recognize you, though, so you won't win it from me.
Can I just say something really quick?
Go ahead.
Alright, Mike, get off your phone, I have to call you.
Mike, get off the phone. Off the phone, Mike.
And his boss just called me.
Uh-oh.
And he's mad. He's awfully mad.
Awfully mad, huh? And I'll bet disappointed, too.
Yeah, he's really disappointed.
Very disappointed, Mike.
Care about that. All he wants is $80 or something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, you guys straighten it out.
How's your year been?
My year has been eventful. It's been fun. You know, it's...
What happened?
What happened? Okay, you're turning it on me now. Let's see, what happened? Well, I spent a lot of time in New York, which is fun. I like... You know, walking around in New York City. Let's see, what else did I do? I don't know. You know, it's hard to think of what you did in the past year.
I know.
And put it into words. I guess maybe it's not fair asking people to do that, but it is hard to summarize it all. 1988 seemed to be a year of anniversaries. The anniversary of 1968, the anniversary of John Kennedy being killed. All kinds of anniversaries. But I can't really think of anything that really happened in 1988 that will live on forever. But I know that there were things. You know? There were definitely things.
It's just hard to think of.
I can't remember.
I
think they're putting something in the water. That's what I think.
Putting something what?
They're putting drugs in the water so that we can't remember things.
Yeah. I saw them doing that the other night, I think.
Let's try another trivia question here. We'll keep you on until you lose, okay?
All right.
Who were Putu, Siku, and Kinnick?
What did you just say?
I'm asking you who three names are. Who were...
Name's Mike.
Who were Putu, Siku, and Kinnick?
Weren't they like the Chinese pandas or something like that?
No, I'll give you one more shot, though. You're kind of close. It does involve animals, and it does involve an Iron Curtain country.
People from China? I don't know.
People from China. No, that's incorrect. I'll try.
Could I make a little announcement here?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, if there's any bass players or singers who are really good that play heavy metal, just contact, I'll give my number out. Contact me at 474.
Sorry, you can't give out your phone number on the air, and I don't mean to cut you off there, but the reason for that is that you could give out someone else's phone number. Let's see, what can you do? I don't know. I don't have a solution there. Maybe somebody can call up with a suggestion. I mean, if you have a record company, yes, you can give out the address of the record company, and, you know, that's okay. But if you give out or a phone number in Colorado, I don't think anyone's going to give out, you know, someone else's phone number in Colorado. But, you know, as far as home numbers go, that's right out. I hope you understand.
All right, Eric, could I give an address?
Yeah, you can give an address.
All right, 4 Locust Lane, Miller Place, New York. And, like, if you live around this area and you're a bass player or a singer, just write a letter and, like, just leave your return address and we can get back to you.
What if they're a bass player that can't write a letter?
And
there are some of those around, I know it.
Then they can call me. Here's my number.
No. Sorry about that. Almost let it get through there. Almost let it get through. Yes. Losing my tenses here. 632-6901. Who were Putu, Siku, and Kennick? That's our 1988 trivia question. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Good evening.
Calling from Long Island.
Oh, boy. Yes. What can we do for you?
I enjoy your show, I should tell you.
That's good to know.
I've been listening since the dawn.
The dawn?
Of its existence, rather.
Okay.
Couple questions. Could you shed some light on the form of your program, please?
We are a free-form talk show.
Just totally structureless, just anything goes, pretty much.
Well, sometimes we have structure, but sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, overall, we have no structure.
Even
though sometimes we do.
I was wondering if you're familiar with Solomon's Delicatessen. It's located on Arizona Avenue in Rensselaer, New York.
I'm not personally, but there could be some listeners that are.
It's a nice delicatessen.
Why, besides that, why do you bring it up?
Because I'm calling from there right now. I'm at work.
You're in a delicatessen?
Yes.
I see.
And see what happened is we had a customer. A
sounds like you're
ago.
In Colorado to me.
Pardon me?
Sounds like you're in Colorado to me.
Colorado?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Besides the fact that we're at a delicatessen, we're also in the same building as an obstetrician.
Okay.
And there's a couple things that he wanted me to bring up on your show, if that would be no problem with you.
Go ahead.
Sorry, your call did not...
Oh, can't get away with that kind of thing around here. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
I know the answer to the question.
Okay, what's the answer to the question?
They're the whales, right?
Very good.
Trapped in the ice.
That is correct. They were Alaska's trapped whales.
Yeah, but it wasn't a communist country.
I know that. The Soviet Union, though, helped get them free. That's what I meant. They were involved.
Oh, they were involved with the communists.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, next question.
All right.
Okay. Who framed Roger Rabbit?
I have no idea.
Okay, anybody knows that? Our number is 632-6901. Trivia questions for 1988. Where are you calling from, sir?
Stony Brook.
Stony Brook. Okay, any other comments on 1988 or 1989?
I really don't know.
Okay, well, what are you going to be doing in 36 minutes?
36 minutes? I don't know. I'm considering the one caller's suggestion of running naked to the house.
Well, that's something to think about.
Yes,
but,
it
definitely
is.
You know, maybe people should try running naked through the streets, because that way at least somebody at Newsday would be able to write a story about it.
Yeah, but it's a tad cold out there, though. That's
well, that's true, but think of it in contrast to the horrible custom they have in Detroit of shooting guns up in the air. You know, it'd be a nice new custom to start. Maybe it would spread around, and people would say, my God, that's horrible, that's disgusting, but at least it wouldn't be deadly.
Yeah, and then we'd have millions of people running naked to the streets.
Yeah.
It would make for an interesting New Year.
And some interesting album covers and poems and things like that.
Yep.
Well, thanks for calling and answering that question, and we'll see you in 1989, I guess.
All right. Bye.
Hi. Our new question, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? That's the 1988 trivia question. Our number is 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
How you doing, Eric?
How you doing?
I think I know who it was.
Okay, who was it?
Was it a bad guy?
That's not good enough. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it was General, right?
You're going to have to give me the exact name.
Maybe was it, no, it couldn't have been Mike Tyson.
It wasn't Mike Tyson, no.
No. I really don't know. But, that guy, that was from Colorado again. I just had to tell you that.
I think I knew that, yeah.
And that guy who told, you know, to hang up and call Mike.
Yeah.
He should be calling back any second now.
Why is that?
Because me and him are, like, best friends.
You're not Mike, are you?
No, my real name is Mike, and so is his.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about me when, you know, when you put us on hold, that kid or whoever he was that was being wise, you know?
Being wise?
Yeah.
He is rather smart, yes.
No, that's not what I meant by wise.
Well, what did you mean by wise?
Wise is in making rude comments.
Is that what wise means?
Yeah.
I always thought wise meant smart or intelligent.
No, because...
Wise. Oh, wise guy.
I got
it now. Okay.
Eric, how is about this? Okay, if that guy Mike calls, he should be a caller right behind me. Could you, like, put me on hold? And if it's him, could you, like, hook us up?
Now, wait a minute. We are not a message service here.
Oh, but...
We are a radio station.
Hey, I got a good mafia application. You want to hear it?
A good what?
It's a mafia application, you know?
What do you mean a mafia application?
If you want to join the mafia, you know?
Oh, come on. You can't do that over the radio. You have to send in forms or something.
No, it's just like a goofball thing. No, but could you, like, can I take calls with you tonight?
I'll put you on hold if anyone expresses
that
desire.
If that guy Mike.
Well, we'll pair you together and transfer you someplace. 632-6901. We're trying to figure out who framed Roger Rabbit, but we're also trying to figure out what 1988 was all about him. What we can hope for 1989. 632-6901, good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Good morning. You're on the hotline.
The hotline?
Yes. Can I please play? I've received a tape from Mr. Radio.
Oh, boy.
And he is in Florida, as you may know.
No, I didn't know that, but it does make me feel kind of good.
It's on a four-day holiday, but I've received tape from him, first-class mail, and he would like it played for 30 seconds on this program.
Well, we'll see if we can last that long. Go ahead.
Okay, hang on, it's coming.
For people like you. No. It's kind of a... It's not really necessarily even a derogatory name. It's just a name for people who are very hungry to be on the media. We call them media whores.
That's right.
You are a media whore.
Thank you for that compliment.
That's right. You and Al Sharpton are in the same boat.
Did you enjoy it, Corley?
That sounds just like the Mr. Radio I know, yes.
Okay, now tell Storm and Norman Trusland that I'm very upset at him.
Well, I'm afraid you're going to be even more upset at me because I just hung up on you. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hi, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, can I talk to the person on hold, please?
Okay, hold on a second, I will,
hello?
Attempt to do
hello?
This. Yeah, hold on a moment, let's see how this works here. Okay, let me go like this, and then we... Hit the magic button here, and they're all together, there you go. Have a nice conversation there by yourself. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
You wanted to know who framed Roger Rabbit?
That's exactly what I want to know.
Yeah, I did. I bagged a little sucker. I got him hanging on my wall right here.
That's not even funny. Who framed Roger Rabbit?
Actually, who framed him?
Yes. Didn't anybody see that film?
No, everybody knows somebody who saw it, but nobody actually saw it.
You're right, because that is true. That's the way it seems to be. I didn't see it.
It's like, I never saw it, and I know people have seen it. But other people, I say, have you seen it? They say, no, but I know my friend who saw it, and they said, it's very weird.
Hmm.
I think nobody actually saw it. Everybody's just pretending.
Do you think it ever came out?
No, I don't. I think if you go into the theater, do you ever watch the TV show, you know, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something, right? And it's like you go into the movie theater, right, to watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Then these monsters come down and like eat the people in there. So it's like nobody actually ever sees it because it doesn't exist. It's merely a well-laid trap. But
well-laid
alien intelligence
traps
is far greater than ours.
Yeah, well, any intelligence would have to be far greater than ours. Let's see if we can improve the intelligence on the phone lines tonight. No offense. 632-6901 is our phone number. I'm going to try to cheer things up now by looking at some of the people who died in 1988. Do you want to stay on the line, caller?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we're going to go over some of the obituaries here. This is always fun. Musicians of note who died in 88 span the spectrum from bebop to pop on that last measure. There were the deaths of rock and roll veteran Roy Orbison and of Andy Gibb, whose older brothers were the Bee Gees. February saw the death of Frederick Lowe, the composer behind Broadway hits that included My Fair Lady and Brigadoon. Others who died included Chet Baker, whose sweet trumpet tunes were called Cool Jazz, blues and jazz musician Eddie Cleanhead Vinson, rhythm and blues vocalist Brooke Benton, and singer and Jack Benny's sidekick Dennis Day. And there was the man whose name may not ring a bell, but whose hit may have raised a stein to. Whose hit many have raised a stein to, I'm sorry.
Drum roll, please.
Jaromir Vejvoda of Beer Barrel Polka fame. That's right.
Yes, it's a favorite of mine.
There here were the words that made Heather O'Rourke famous. The Poltergeist star died at the age of 12 during surgery. A unique identity was also claimed by Harris Glenn Milstead, the female impersonator known as Divine. Among the veteran actors who died, John Carradine, Trevor Howard, and John Houseman, who earned much of his fame in The Paper Chase. And there was Joe Besser, who went from being one of the Three Stooges to Stinky on the Abbott and Costello Show. The world also lost Joshua Logan, the director whose Broadway bonanzas included South Pacific and whose film hits included Paint Your Wagon. And in 1988, one of the biggest names in dance, Robert Joffrey of the Joffrey Ballet, died too, as did legendary Hollywood gossip columnist Sheila Graham and Jim Jordan, known as Fibber McGee in the early days of radio. And that's some of the people who aren't with us any longer.
You forgot one person.
Well, this is only part one. There's another part coming up, but who did I forget?
Robert Heinlein.
Did he die this year? Yes.
Died.
I'm sure he's in the next part coming up. I hope he is.
He died. That was sad.
That was shocking, yeah. Well, how old was he?
He was in his 80s.
He was that old, okay.
Asimov is older than him, though. By a couple of years. And he's still alive and kicking.
Wow.
The thing is, though, that whenever they say that Heinlein died, right, they always say that one of his most famous books was Stranger in a Strange Land. And he didn't even like that book. That was the least favorite book that...
Yes, well, oftentimes that's the way it is, you know. We're going to go on some more calls.
Okay.
632-6901. We're still trying to find out who framed Roger Rabbit, and if the next couple of calls don't get it, we're gonna spoil it and tell you anyway. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, Eric Corley, I know the answer.
Okay, what's the answer?
It was the judge.
Judge who?
Judge framed Roger Rabbit.
Do you have a second name for the judge?
I forgot.
Well, it's Judge Doom. I'll give it to you.
Okay. Now, second thing here, this man came on at 12 o'clock named Lister, I believe.
12 noon.
Yeah, 12 noon. I was disgusted. You know, I have an open reel tape player, and I recorded them, and I played them backwards.
What's an open reel tape player? You mean a reel to reel tape player?
Open, yeah.
I never heard that phrase. You know, okay.
Well, and I found out.
Is he sending the backwards Satan messages again?
Basically, there were sexual overtones in the upper frequency and in the instrumental on several of the songs.
We've told Lister to keep the sexual overtones up front, you know, and to play them so that everybody can hear them. Because we get a lot of complaints when people have to go to that much trouble to find them.
It corrupts the minds of the youth listening, even though
the ratings of the
station are poor. What kind of ratings you get there? You know, what do you get about it? 3.3?
Well, you cannot talk about ratings over the air.
I apologize.
I mean, you know, it's obvious you can't talk about ratings over the air.
I was not aware of that.
That's one of those weird rules, yes.
I knew that you couldn't curse and everything, but...
You can do all kinds of things. Listen, you're eligible for a second question since you sort of got the first one.
Okay, fine.
Shoot. Ready? What lasted 91 seconds?
P-Kang Sex Life.
Why aren't I hanging up on him? I should be hanging up. There we go. Okay. Had trouble with my finger there. Well, what lasted 91 seconds? I'm sure everybody knows the answer to that one. But I'll give you a few minutes anyway. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I just wanted to say hello to everybody out there listening, Mike and Frank.
Well, I'm glad you called. You sound like our first sane caller that we've had in a while.
I don't think so.
Oh well. Sounds can be
deceiving.
Deceiving, that's the word. I forgot what word I was trying to think of. Well, we only have 24 minutes before the new year. Do you have any special plans?
No. I'm thinking, though.
Sounds like you got a crowd there.
Yes, I do.
Is it a crowd gathered for festivities, or just a crowd that happens to be there?
Well, half of it's my family.
Uh-huh.
And then his friends.
I see. And what are you going to be doing around midnight?
Making a lot of noise.
Watching TV? Watching the thing in Times Square?
Go down, yep.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be listening to us at midnight. I think everyone's going to be, you know, watching that stupid thing in Times Square or just, like, you know, toasting each other. And they're going to forget all about us sitting here just trying to keep them, you know, entertained.
You can always read more news.
What?
You can always read more news.
I guess so. Maybe even play a record or something like that. I don't know. Well, we'll think of something, though. Where are you calling from?
Sound Beach.
Sound Beach.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anything else you want to convey?
If Mike is still listening, I mean, Mike, who thinks he's Mr. Chong.
Yeah.
Tell him to give me a call.
Okay.
Because he knows who I am.
Okay.
And have a very happy new year.
Okay, you too.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, why do I feel like we're conveying messages between a select group of people here? That's what it seems like. 632-6901. What lasted 91 seconds? And I'll tag another one onto that. What lasted 91 seconds and what lasted 8 months? And the two are related. So let's hope the next caller can get that. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah. Those are the two shortest spins in outer space?
No.
Had a space shuttle had lasted only 91 seconds?
Actually, was that 91 seconds? I think it was very close to it if it wasn't. But yeah, that wasn't it. What lasted 91 seconds was the fight between Mike Tyson and Michael Spinks.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, so that's not exactly the space shuttle, but it was something. You want to try what lasted 8 months?
What lasted 8 months?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Tell you the... Okay. I don't know.
Okay, what lasted 8 months? Tyson's marriage to actress Robin Givens, who filed for divorce October 7th.
Good enough.
I guess so, yes.
There are two great losses we had suffered this year.
Okay, what were those?
And those are two great athletes who were both killed this year.
Who were they?
They were both professional wrestlers. Adrian Adonis and the great Bruiser Brody.
I see. I didn't hear anything about that. How did they die?
Well, Bruiser Brody got killed in the locker room. He was stabbed to death by another wrestler.
Uh-huh.
And then Agent Adonis got killed in an auto accident.
Oh, that's not a pleasant way to go either way.
But they were two awesome wrestlers.
Uh-huh.
Who are going to be greatly missed.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I'm going to go into some more obituaries to keep things a little bit more gloomy, I guess, because a lot of people died in 1988.
Yeah, you're kidding.
Do you have any special plans coming up at midnight?
Well, I'm just going to watch the Stooges marathon that they're having on right now.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could do that, but can't do that.
All right.
Well, thanks for calling.
All right, and have a very happy New Year.
You too.
All right.
Good night. Our number is 632-6901. Our next trivia question, let's see what it will be here. That's a good one. Okay, this is easy, folks. Who were the first Democrat and Republican to drop out of the presidential race this year? Okay, come on. Who were the first Democrat and Republican to drop out of the presidential race this year? Make me proud of you. 632-6901. Now, a key figure in the Watergate scandal, the celebrated brother of an ex-president and a woman some believe was the world's oldest person, they were among the people who died in 1988. Yes, he was a World War II Navy hero and a former attorney general. But up until his death in 1988, John Mitchell was remembered chiefly for his role in the Watergate scandal that rocked the Nixon White House. Obituaries were also written over the past year for many others who had a role in major events or just happened to be there. On that last count, there was former President Jimmy Carter's brother Billy, who died of cancer at the age of 51. Billy Carter became a celebrity and achieved notoriety by promoting Billy Beer and getting into hot water for accepting a loan from Libya. Obituaries, how do you apply for a loan from Libya? Obituaries were also written in 1988 for a U.S. Civil Rights Commission Chairman Clarence Pendleton, Teamsters President Jackie Presser, trial lawyer, Washington insider, and Baltimore Orioles owner Edward Bennett Williams, Amnesty International co-founder Sean McBride, World War II flying ace Gregory Pappy Boyington, and Mildred Gillers, better known as Axis Sally. She was the U.S. foreign radio propagandist for Nazi Germany. The world also bid farewell to Alan Paton, South African author of Cry, the Beloved Country, and also to Louis L'Amour, who penned dozens of best-selling westerns, to pioneering woman reporter Adela Rogers St. Johns, to shipping heiress Christina Anassis, and to Max Robinson, formerly of ABC News, the first black to co-anchor a nightly network newscast. The sports world mourned the loss of basketball's Pistol Pete Maravich and Hall of Fame pitcher Carl Hubel. Finally, in suburban Baltimore, there was Emma Thomas, who was survived by 5 children, 17 grandchildren, 30 great-grandchildren, 26 great-great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-great-grandchildren. Believe me, they had trouble finding cards at the appropriate moments. Mrs. Thomas was believed by relatives to be 117 years old. If so, she was the world's oldest person. Our number is 632-6901. Our question, who were the first Democrat and Republican to drop out of the presidential race this year as we come to within 17 minutes of a new year? 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hi, Eric.
Hi.
I had two things of what happened in 88. The first black ran for president.
That's not exactly true. Shirley Chisholm ran before.
Yes, of course, yes, yes.
But he got the furthest. Okay, I'll say that.
Yes, of course. And also, I believe in the factory of Entenmann's. The first blueberry batch of sauce was actually thrown out in over 5 years, I believe, due to something happened there, some kind of incident.
I don't understand.
There was a blueberry batch of you know, what's that stuff, that gush that goes in the pies, and that was actually thrown out at one time.
Well, how big a patch are we talking about here?
Batch.
How big a batch?
Well, I'd say quite some odd. No, probably about, I believe it was 853 gallons of blueberry gook.
How in the world did you find out about this?
Well, me personally, yes. I have someone that, I know someone that works at Entenmann's, and due to personal experiences, I know that, yes.
You know that what?
You know
that fact.
Yes.
Well, now, one more question. Why is that important?
Well, it's very important because due to historical facts, you know, if there's no blueberry sauce ever thrown out, I think, you know, after a while that they would lose a lot of, you know, business if they're using the same barrel and they've never thrown it out. And I guess actually they've cleaned out the barrels now that they emptied it, you know, emptied it of blueberry sauce. And if they don't eventually empty out some blueberry sauce, then they'll never be able
I get the feeling, I know what you mean.
Clean out the barrel of which it consists of, yes. And I have the answer to the question a minute ago.
Okay, what's the answer?
All right, Mike Tyson's fight.
No, not that question. We answered that one already.
That was, 8 months. His marriage.
No, the question now is, who were the first Democrat and Republicans to drop out of the presidency?
Oh, the blueberry sauce. Hello? What'd you say?
Forget the blueberry sauce. We're talking politics here.
Gary Hart?
No, but that's a good guess. At least you got somebody who was running.
The milk?
Huh?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. The milkman who delivers my milk to my house.
Yeah.
I don't think he ran for president, but...
Do you still have a milkman?
Yes, we do. And Smith's Bakery is the correct name for it. If you would hold on 1 second, I could read you a list of some of the qualifications it takes to get into the, you know, to the presidential race and chairman and all that.
No, you don't have to do that.
It would be very amusing. It's very different.
I'm sure it is.
It's very, you would laugh almost.
Almost, yeah. Okay, go ahead, but quickly.
Can I get it? Hold on one second.
The year's almost out. You better hurry.
1 second.
Okay, our number is 632-6901, area code 516. Well, he's going to get whatever he's going to get. We'll just wait here. Whoa. Oh, dear.
Okay, hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
You better hurry up.
Okay, now going up back upstairs. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. Yeah, he picked up the phone. I can hear you. Stop giggling there.
All right. Hello?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
This is actually not blueberries, raspberry. But anyway, okay. Candidates for U.S. Senator. Okay, there's a Mr. James P. Harris. And he has qualifications of a high school graduate. He's a chairperson of New York Socialist Workers Party. And his qualifications are an active union member, United Auto Works of America. And he's
You have 5 seconds.
Okay, and also, let me read one more. Okay. Oh, by the way, Robinson dropped out and someone else. But, okay, this is William P. McMillan. He's a librarian. He's graduated from Bryant
college, and he's a division controller of Crowley Foods. And his qualifications are a chair of Liberation Party of New York since 1983, a counting teacher, and a prisoner.
Prisoner? He puts that on a resume?
Yes, he was a prisoner from draft resistance in 1965, I would believe, yes. That has
that
nothing to do with the blueberry sauce, but that is, yes. Hello? And the vice president, his salary is $115,000 a year, and the president has a $200,000 wager coming in.
Well, I'm sorry, we must go. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. We're going to give a few more minutes to get the question, who are the first Democrat and Republicans to drop out of the presidential race this year? And let's see if there's any other questions that might be interesting. Who said George Bush was born with a silver foot in his mouth? I'd like to know. Those are the two questions. 632-6901, as we're starting to run out of time here. 1988 is almost gone. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, what was the question again?
Okay, we're trying to find out who the first Democrat and Republicans to drop out of the presidential race this year.
Gary Hart?
No.
Well, yes, he was, but he got back in.
That's true, so I don't know. I guess he muffed that up by...
the operator, may I help you?
No. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Answer is negative. Answer is negative.
Couldn't even understand what you were saying. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, me again. It's one of them is, what is his name? Dwight Eisenhower and Lincoln.
Thank you. I don't know what the question was, but here are the correct answers. The first Democrat and Republican to drop out of the presidential race this year, Bruce Babbitt and Alexander Haig. Come on, people. Where were you this year? And who said George Bush was born with a silver foot in his mouth? Texas State Treasurer Ann Richards at the Democratic Convention. Okay. Now then, we are coming up very, very close on the beginning of 1989. I don't know quite what to do when the actual moment strikes. I could just ignore it. It'd be kind of fun, actually, to do that. See if I can find any more of these moments of 1988. Hopefully there were... here's something interesting. Evan Meekum... 1988 was a year of trials and tribulation for Evan Meekum, the first U.S. governor impeached and removed from office in 59 years. Evan Meekum got into Arizona's state house by garnering a plurality as the Republican in a three-way race. Barely into his second year in office, Meekum could not muster enough votes to keep his job. Between getting into and out of office, Meekum's tenure was filled with controversy. He rescinded a Martin Luther King holiday. He defended the use of the word pickaninny in a book. And he offended women, Jews, homosexuals, and Asian Americans. It was another set of controversies that ended Meekum's political career. He was impeached by the Arizona House and removed from office last April when the state Senate convicted him of misusing money from a state protocol fund and trying to thwart an investigation of a death threat. Meekum was replaced by Arizona's Democratic Secretary of State, Rose Mofford. Meekum did not face an impeachment trial on a charge of concealing a campaign loan. The Senate decided not to consider that matter to avoid prejudicing. Okay, the Senate decided not to consider that matter to avoid prejudice. Skip to the next sentence. At his court trial, Meekum was acquitted on the loan charge. In a parting shot, Meekum declared that justice is possible when you get to the people and outside the politicians. That's what happened in 1988. Wall Street, the year following Black Monday. Much has been said, but little done about changing the rules on Wall Street. Oh, we'll leave it there. All kinds of economic things, corporate takeovers, anniversaries. Okay, this is my department here. 1988 was a generation after Camelot and a generation after a man who shared his dream. It was a year of memories from America's moments of anguish in the 1960s. In 1988, The nation marked the 20th anniversaries of the assassinations of the Reverend Martin Luther King and Senator Robert F. Kennedy, and the 25th anniversary of President John F. Kennedy's slaying. The King anniversary was first on April 4th, 2 decades after the civil rights leader was shot at the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis. Observances were held around the country, including a memorial service at the Memphis Church, where King gave his mountaintop speech on the eve of his murder. Later in the year, in late August, tens of thousands tried to recapture the spirit of King on the 25th anniversary of his I Have a Dream speech. Gathered in Washington, they listened to the Reverend Jesse Jackson recall that a quarter century ago, they looked forward to new frontiers under John Kennedy. November 22nd was the quarter century anniversary of the president's assassination. Some 500 former volunteers of the Peace Corps, which he had founded, marked the occasion with a vigil, said that literally, in the Capitol Rotunda, where Kennedy's body once lay in state. And there was a commemorative service at St. Matthew's, the Roman Catholic Cathedral in Washington, where Kennedy's funeral service was held in 1963. In Arlington National Cemetery, about 5,000 people gathered in June to remember another Kennedy. They attended a memorial service at the grave of Robert Kennedy 20 years after he was shot and killed during his presidential campaign. And those are the anniversaries that 1988 reminded us of. Brother Bill, it's getting pretty close, isn't it?
Yes, indeed it is. Hi, folks. It's, oh, the madness, oh, the memories.
I don't know which one of these clocks to believe. One says 11:54, one says 11:55, it's probably up to midnight.
I bet we call the time.
Well,
and we could hear it. We could hear it happen.
Most people don't know how to call the time on these stupid phones because
but this person,
they block them out, but I know a secret way to get through, so while you talk, I will try to do this.
I'd just like to say this standard thing that's probably on everyone's lips tonight. Happy new music. It's a little joke there, but no, happy new year. Anyway, who knows what's ahead.
You know what? I think they caught on to my little trick there. This is horrible. Can't do that. Try this.
They'll figure it out, folks.
Can't do that. Can't do that. I can't do that. There's no way to call the time.
Well, I could offer some services. I have people at my home that are watching the ball drop. And I said that I might call and have them hold the phone up to the television. I know you are anti-phone television, but this might be the exception to the rule. I don't know.
Isn't
it's up to you.
Another number that gives the time? You know? Shouldn't there be another number?
There probably is, but I'd be dipped if I know what it is.
Yeah. This is a real shock and a scandal, not being able to call the time.
Yeah, well, it's
we have
like
no way of knowing when it's actually midnight.
It's true.
Thanks to the Rome system on this stupid campus.
Actually,
the stupid Rome system on this campus.
Someone who's hip to your trick, perhaps.
I can't believe I found that. Boy. Actually, you can call the time from the phone inside. I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you instructions on how to call the time.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
I feel important now, ladies
and
gentlemen.
We only have...
I'll have to move fast.
We're running out of time here. We have about 3 minutes, so what you're going to do is dial that, followed by that, and, wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, I wrote that down wrong. Okay, followed by that. And once it connects...
Which line?
On the bottom line in that room there.
Okay.
Once it connects... Put it on hold. Come in here and tell me that it's on hold.
Okay. I'll charge.
All right. A bit of drama and urgency here at the radio station as we attempt to use the one phone where you can still call the time. And hopefully that still works because it means so much to us to be able to bring you 1989 as it happens. And bring you the death of 1988 as it happens. Yes. Looks like we're about, we could be 1 minute away, we could be 2 minutes away, we could be as many as 3 minutes away. I don't know for sure. Okay, I believe
We ready?
Okay, here we go. Whoops. Sorry about that. There we go.
30 seconds. Good evening. The New York temperature is 36 degrees. Eastern Standard Time, 11:58 and 40 seconds. Stay up to the minute
people
with
screaming.
New York Newsday. Eastern.
Now, we can't have ads on the... Brother Bill, I'm going to ask you to do that one more time because they hang up after a minute.
Yes, so they
we'll
do.
Miss it. So go in there.
So
and do it
now.
Again. Yes. Okay, go right ahead. We'll keep
exactly.
this one on. 11:59.
New York Newsday.
I hear people screaming on the phone.
Eastern Standard Time, 11:59 and 10
Can you hear
seconds.
Us? Can you hear us, people on the phone?
New York temperature is 36 degrees. Eastern Standard Time. 11:59 and 20 seconds.
Okay, they hung up on us, so let's hope Brother Bill got connected so we can connect to the other one. And we'll just wait for him to come tearing in here. Should be a matter of seconds here. Oh, dear. And he's getting a busy signal. Maybe so many people are calling the time that we can't get through. Oh, boy. It's coming down to the seconds here. Brother Bill, if you can hear me, come in here. Oh, this is a shame. Our high-tech phone system has screwed us again. Well, Happy New Year, folks. It's about 12 o'clock anyway. It's close enough. Yes, it's about 12 o'clock. We have no idea exactly what time it is.
12 o'clock. Happy New Year, but...
What happened?
I tried, and I think we're making the connection here.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
After a couple of insults.
Nope.
They're still insulting me.
Who's insulting you?
The machine.
The machine is insulting you?
Well, it keeps giving me that sound.
Really? Well. Let that be a testament to the failings of 1988, and hopefully 1989 will be better. We'll be able to call the time next year at this time, I hope.
Well, let me be the first, Eric, to welcome you to 1989 and the rest of the listeners as well.
I can't believe it's over. I can't believe 1988 is gone.
Like you said before, I can't believe 1984 is gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I couldn't believe 1984 was here and gone. I don't know. Well, we're the first station of the 90s, so we're one year closer to that.
Yes, we are.
And Brother Bill is coming on next.
Yes.
Well, I look for my outro. Here it is. I will now play the outro and leave. And Brother Bill, what do you have planned for 1989?
Oh, all kinds of improvisational goodies. Or just going to hang out and have a good time. And I hope you join me, ladies and gentlemen.
Sounds good.
I don't know
to
if the power surge is going to be here or not, but I'll be here.
Well, if there is no power surge, if those guys don't show up, we're going to be playing Barry Manilow and Lawrence Welk.
Backwards, of course.
All kinds of things like that. So that might be incentive for them to show up. That sounds awful, doesn't it? I'm going to try putting it on a different machine. Ugh, that sounds terrible. That sounds bad, too. Hold on, let me try hitting it. No, that's no good.
Sounds like a lot of left channel, but it might be my headphones. I don't know. But here you go, the first technical difficulty of 1989 here in WUSD.
Sounds awful. Let's try it this way. Oh, well. I guess we'll just have to live with that, too.
I hope it's not a bad omen of things
to
come.
I don't know. I don't like this year so far. So far this year has been the two worst minutes of my life. But no offense to Brother Bill here.
Of course. I'm sorry. I had to see it.
This is WUSB Stony Brook. Brain Damage. We'll be back again next week at 10 o'clock. Have a good night. Drive carefully if you have to drive. And if you're drinking, drink in moderation, but not excessively. And if you're running around the house naked, do that, too. But don't overdo it.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't hit anything against anything.
No. And, you know, common sense. Common sense prevails.
Right. Not only today, but every day of your life.
Yeah. God bless you. Good night.
The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. I knew that breaks open day. lock the door, throw away the key. Someone in my head, but it's not me.
is Brother Bill, and we're going to be experimenting for the next 2.5 hours. I hope anyway. Hopefully you'll enjoy. Here at WUSB, Stony Brook, welcome to 1989. Try and make this as entertaining as possible. Thank you very much.